Welcome to Countryside Community Church, a United Methodist Fellowship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The scripture this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. Jesus speaks about his suffering and death. From that time on, Jesus began to say plainly to his disciples, "I must go to Jerusalem and suffer much from the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. I will be put to death, but 3 days later, I will be raised to life." Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid it, Lord," he said. "That must never happen to you." Jesus turned around and said to Peter, "Get away from me, Satan. You are an obstacle in my way because these thoughts of yours don't come from God, but from man." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to come with me, he must forget himself, carry his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Will a person gain anything if he wins the whole world but loses his life? Of course not. There is nothing he can give to regain his life. For the Son of Man is about to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his deeds. I assure you that there are some here who will not die until they have seen the Son of Man come as King." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for time to be still and to be in your presence. We give you thanks for time to stop and to listen. We give you thanks that you speak to us. So once again, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would pour yourself out on us, that again you would take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, and inspire them, breathe life into them, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So for some time now, on the fifth Sunday of the month, we've been doing services around the theme of my story, and different folks have shared a bit about their walk with Christ and how they came to be where they are in their Christian journey. And so I thought maybe this would be a good time for me to share a little bit of that. And so at the drive-in worship time, I shared a little bit about that, and I want to pick up on another piece of that. So if you don't normally, you might find it interesting to particularly go back and listen to the podcast to catch both pieces of this. One other thing I wanted to do before we get started is I need to take a moment to be a dad, because one of the phrases that is going to come up is, "Oh, Peter," and I need to make sure, buddy, that you know that I'm not talking about you in this moment. And the other thing that I need to make sure is that while I am not always delighted with your choices, I am always delighted with you. So thank you all for letting me take a moment and make sure that that's clear in this time. So our text this morning is the second piece of the scripture that we had last week. Peter goes from having exactly the right answer to, "Oh, Peter." Jesus starts to show the disciples, to demonstrate, to explain to them, to teach them That what it means that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, is that he will be crucified. That from here, he's headed towards Jerusalem. And when he gets there, he's going to lay down his life. And that in 3 days, God will raise him up again. And Peter's response to that is maybe entirely expected, but also entirely wrong. Oh, Peter. Oh, Peter. What are you doing? Jesus, having said, "You are the rock, and on this I will build my church, and even the gates of hell itself cannot stand against it." To get behind me, Satan, because you are not focused on the things of God, but on the things of humanity. You're looking at things from your emotional human perspective and not seeing what God wants you to see. I relate to Peter. Peter hasn't always been, I don't think I would say my favorite character, but as I have continued to walk with Jesus, I have become more and more appreciative of Peter, and particularly the relationship that Peter and Jesus have together. So, having given my life to Jesus, I headed off to college to be a music teacher. Now, my dad is a retired pastor. Actually, my mom is also a retired local pastor, although that didn't happen until I got out to college. So I had grown up in church. I had grown up with folk coming and patting me on my head and say, "Oh, you're so cute. You look just like your dad. Don't you want to be a preacher when you grow up?" And I would smile and say, "Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, please, dear God, no." And so I headed off to college to be a music teacher. And my thought was that I would be a witness in the public school systems, and that as the high school band director I had planned to be, that when the circles on the field were square and the squares were round, I could express my displeasure in ways that were significantly different from the way my high school director expressed those things, in a way that would be a witness to Jesus. That was my plan. And I almost made it. I got into the summer before my senior year of college, and God laid on my heart that he wanted me to pursue pastoral ministry. And we argued with that for what seemed like an eternity. It was a whole summer. I hadn't turned 21 yet, so that was a long, long time. God had been calling me. I hadn't recognized it. Sandra had. When I finally broke down and told her, "I think God's calling me to be a minister," she looked at me and said, "I knew that. I don't know how, because I didn't know it, but..." And so I started down the process. And so the summer I graduated from college, I was appointed to a 4-point charge, and my first couple days in the parish went like this. So we moved in on Thursday. On Friday, Dad and I did a wedding rehearsal. On Saturday, we did the wedding in my new parish. Sunday, I preached for the first time at the three churches. And then Monday, I went off to local pastor school. That's how it started. Jesus asked me the question, and I got the answer right. But it didn't always get it right. In fact, there was a time when I got it really, 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 really wrong. And while I won't go into details, I'll simply say it this way, that in that moment, I betrayed everything and everyone that was important to me. And so I took a leave of absence. That's how I ended up driving truck. But this is where Peter began to be really, really important. Because even though Peter got it wrong, and he didn't understand what it meant to take up the cross yet, Jesus took him with James and John 6 days later, and they went up on the mountain. And he got to see Jesus with Moses and Elijah. And even after that, Peter didn't get it right all the time. In fact, he got it pretty wrong too. Think about Peter in the courtyard after Jesus had been arrested. I have no idea who you're talking about. But after Jesus was raised, as he promised he would be, as he showed and taught the disciples all the way back in that conversation, after having had breakfast on the seashore, he says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know I do. Feed my sheep." And after the third time, Peter in anguish, remembering all the times he had gotten it so very, very wrong, "Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep." And I kind of think, just from my experience, that Jesus had to ask Peter three times so that Peter could believe that Jesus had called him to feed my sheep. You may have noticed that when I'm writing emails to people or when I'm speaking that I usually end things with "grace to you and peace." Now, partly I do that because Bishop May would use that phrase a lot. Partly because Bishop May robbed it from St. Paul in the way he ends many of his letters. But I think probably those two guys use it for the same reason that I do. Is that I can't think of anything better to wish for you. Peace, from the Hebrew word shalom, means not only will you be calm, not only will you be restful, not only will you live in a place where there is a lack of conflict, where there's no war. It means all of those things, and it means may you always have enough. So I hope that you'll have peace, always. But more than that, I hope that you will have grace. That you will know what I have come to know so deeply and so powerfully. That when you get it wrong, even when you get it so very wrong, that you become convinced that God can't use you anymore. That when you find yourself in that moment, when you know you have done it that kind of wrong, that you would also hear the forgiving grace. The grace that says, look, I know what you did, but what I care about is who you are and who you can be in relationship with me. Grace to you and peace. Amen.